host of the Morning Drive with Collada and the Prince. Jordy Collada out of Baton Rouge, ESPN. Jordy, good morning to you, brother. How are you?
Good to be with you guys, man. Good morning.
You're a morning person by trade. I know you have the morning show, but that doesn't necessarily always mean you're a morning person.
No, I'm good. I've been up since 5, got a workout in, ate breakfast.
Look at you.
Yeah, man.
Overachieving.
Nah, because the afternoons I shut it down.
Oh, do you?
Yeah, I'm dead weight in the afternoons.
What time are you getting in the sack?
Probably about 8:30. I mean, I got a 3-year-old kid at home.
Okay.
I'm chasing around. But yeah, 8:30, 9 o'clock. I'm not sleeping at 9 o'clock, but I try to be in the bed by 9 because I'm up. You know, I mean, the morning show starts at 7. We try to get there 5:30 every day, do a little production.
Sure.
But like I said, you know, 3 o'clock hits. You need me.
And I mean this. I mean this in the best of ways. That could be a world record for someone in Baton Rouge turning in at 8 o'clock at night, because it's a city that likes to burn that midnight oil now.
Yeah. Well, during the fall now, that number is going to shift back considerably.
One of my favorite places to play, Joe Parker and I both. One of our most memorable games was down in sure. Death Valley in 2008. But you guys are doing an expansion to the stadium down there. Going to put you at 6 figures, is that right?
Yep, went over 102. They announced the actual last week, and it's beautiful, man. And look, from our point of view, I've been pretty critical of our in-game experience. I mean, I travel with the LSU Sports Radio Network every Saturday, so we've got a chance to go to different venues. Bryant Denny was a great place last year for the Alabama game. Georgia put on a great display.
Yeah, Athens is awesome.
It's great, man. And just as far as the in-game experience, I thought that LSU had kind of fallen behind as far as the SEC was concerned. But this expansion, that they bring in two more big screens, kind of like Bryant Denny, and flank the sides now with one big screen in the north end zone and two in the south end zone. So look, the pictures have come out, and it's starting to come together and become final, and it looks great. It looks great.
And one of the reasons why you're able to expand and raise the money is because the uber success that LSU's had over the last recent years, and Les Miles has continued that after Saban being gone. Mm-hmm. But this year, it's kind of a different, I guess, presence to LSU, and Les Miles will take the podium today, but does it seem like there's just almost been a quiet confidence coming out of Baton Rouge? Because it's just one of the teams that you usually hear every single year coming in here getting pumped, and it just hadn't heard a lot about LSU.
Well, I think the last 2 years you've lost 18 underclassmen to the NFL, 9 each over the last consecutive 2 years. So there's a ton of new faces all over the place. So I think even back in Baton Rouge with the local fan base, people really don't know what to expect.
They don't know the guys playing.
And that's right. I mean, really and truly. I mean, you look at this class of 2014, Alabama finished first in a lot of the recruiting services. LSU was right there at 2 or 3. A lot of these kids are going to have to come in and contribute immediately. When I'm talking about at big-time spots, I mean, you lose Jarvis Landry, you lose Odell Beckham, you lose a guy like Cadron Boone to the NFL at the wide receiver spot. You sign the number one wide receiver in America, and a guy and a Trey Quinn out of Lake Charles who's the leading, he led all of high school in receiving yards coming out of Barb. They have to step in and play immediately. I mean, I'm talking about Wisconsin, you know, August 30th. I mean, these guys are going to have to step in, be productive. So there's a lot of new faces, and I think with that, it's a quiet expectation for LSU, even locally. You know, I mean, here talking to a lot of affiliates from different parts of the SEC. That's really the sentiment with LSU. People don't know what to expect because they really don't know who they're going to trot out there.
I spent a little time in Atlanta, and there was a big deal between the Georgia Bulldogs and Atlanta Falcons, and I know the Saints are close. My question is, it seemed like the Bulldogs always got the top-tier coverage. How is it down there in Louisiana with the Saints so close and them being so popular also?
Yeah, it's neck and neck with where the Saints have kind of trended towards the success with Sean Payton and Drew Brees,
right,
guys in 2006. I mean, LSU was always the top bill and always the headline. You go down to New Orleans, just 60 miles south, the news will start being dominated by the Saints, but LSU's still there. I mean, they share the front cover on the weekends of game days. It's a loyal fan base. You guys know it. I mean, you've been to Death Valley both at night and during the day.
It's a great place.
It is, and it's a fantastic venue because of the people that surround it and the passion that they have for LSU. So, you know, the Saints and the LSU do dominate the headlines, but both fan bases sincerely passionate about each franchise and program.
Yeah. Visiting with Jordy Collada out of Baton Rouge, Louisiana, ESPN Baton Rouge 104.5. Jordy, one of the reasons for the quietness, I think, for LSU has been that question mark at the quarterback position. We're having one in Tuscaloosa, and you guys are kind of sharing the same sentiment in Baton Rouge.
Yeah, well, look, here's the deal. Two guys transferred out since spring. Hayden Reddick came in the class of 2011. He's out. He's transferred. And Steven Rivers, the younger brother of Phillip Rivers, who's been on campus for the past 4 years, is now at Vanderbilt. And speaking of Derek Mason and listening to him talk, you know, it seems like Rivers is probably going to have a shot to get that starting spot. You're looking at a freshman, and Brandon Harris, another guy, a part of this class of 2014 that we talked about, and Anthony Jennings, who's a true sophomore, played limited last year. He had to come in the Arkansas game in the second half after Mettenberger had the knee injury and drove him on that long touchdown drive to beat Arkansas. You know, they really just turned around and handed it to Jeremy Hill in the Outback Bowl. You know, he went nuts that day, and they kind of Jennings didn't
he made
really
himself a lot of money that
he
day.
He didn't make a lot of money. But Jennings, they kind of hit him. And I told you coming in the break, I think that's what they're going to do with the quarterback this year. They're not going to have the opportunity to do it like they did against Iowa just over four quarters. Obviously, you know, John Park, you know this better than anybody. The quarterback's going to have to make a play at some point.
I mean, got to.
At some point, he's going to be asked to make a play. But I think their strengths in the offensive line. They've got a three-man rotation at the running back spot, headlined by Leonard Fournette, the number one player in the class of 2014.
Oh, yeah, man, we wanted him back.
Yep,
dude.
And look, you almost had him. It was a fight down to the end, but LSU was lucky to win that one, and they're gonna turn and hand it to him against, you know, his first game out. He's going to be asked to carry the load. So I think they can hide that position to a degree. Cam Cameron has a swagger to him about that position where he likes the challenge of having these young guys. He loves Brandon Harris, the freshman, who's got the tools to throw the ball deep. He's got the athleticism. If the pocket breaks down, he can make a play. Jennings is the guy because of the experience. But look, it's as close of a competition battle as they have at any position at quarterback.
The cornerstone for LSU's success has been the defense, and in particular the defensive line. I can go back and name guys that you sit there, you're watching them on film and going, how in the hell are we going to block these guys?
Right.
You know, whether it was Jackson, who was the defensive number 93, Tyson Jackson, or Chad Lavallee, then we had Glenn Dorsey, and then you had Kyle Williams. I mean, we went through murderer's row, it seemed like, during our career. But what's the defense looking like under John Chavis?
Well, like I told you, I think now some of these guys that have you looked at, and they've been so young on that side of the ball. Now they've got some experience. They've got some skins on the wall. That they've played in some big-time atmospheres. They've been to Alabama at night. They've seen what the SEC is like. And really, LSU struggled defensively last year was because of their defensive line and the lack of playmakers they had there. I mean, a guy, Ego Ferguson, who was taken in the second round by Chicago Bears, and Anthony Johnson, who went undrafted. Those guys were playing 65, 70 snaps on Saturday. That's just impossible to get any production from that position, really, after 45 snaps. Right. I mean, those guys are gassed. This year, they finally have a rotation up front that I think Chief can trust. You know, they got some playmakers at the second level at the linebacking spot that they haven't had in recent years. And, you know, LSU's kind of known for DBU. They recruit that with Peterson and Matthew and those guys and Claiborne. And they really feel like they probably have the two best underclass corners in the country in Rashard Robinson and Trey White. Trey White just was named to the Thorpe Award watch list as a sophomore. So some playmakers now starting to emerge, some experience starting to kind of show its head. And Chief's another one. We had him on the show a couple of weeks back. He had his golf tournament down in Baton Rouge, and we were talking to him. And you can kind of see it. I mean, you can kind of see that he's now the more dominant unit inside the building. He didn't like last season with the offense putting up all those numbers and during practice kind of, you know, having their way. It was usually Chief out there kind of demanding how the practice was going to flow. He's kind of got that back. You can kind of feel that sense around the building and when you talk to people around the program.
Jordy Collada out of Baton Rouge, ESPN Baton Rouge 104.5. Jordy, kind of switching from the on-the-field issue, which is what we should all be talking about, more towards the press conference questions.
Yep.
One of the questions I have for Les Miles is the 8-9 game schedule. I'm a proponent of the 9-game schedule only because I think that's going to answer questions 10 years down the road when this thing goes to 8.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's better for the conference. Why is he so adamant about the 8-game schedule? I know Florida is one of his big rally cries.
That's it.
But I don't you think, as far as the longevity of success for the conference, that the nine game has to be looked at?
I think the nine game is the one that makes the most sense, and I've always been in that corner. You know, Les Miles, Joe Oliva, Dr. Alexander, the president over at LSU, have been really vigilant on getting away with the permanent opponent. And when the vote came out in the spring meetings, we had Mike Slive on yesterday. You know, we asked him, was he surprised to see the outcome of that vote? Because it seemed like Oliva, Miles, Dr. Alexander, and that crew were really standing in a corner by themselves. I mean, you know, the powers of the SEC, the old powers of the SEC, the traditional rivals of the SEC, that was an issue that they lobbied hard for, and they won overwhelmingly. I mean, you know, we had a chance to talk to Les Miles about it off the record, and he was kind of taken back how much, because they had kind of got out, worked the floor, shake some hands, see if they couldn't rally up some votes. You know, I mean, they had to do it, and they were standing by themselves in a corner when the votes came out. I'm with you. I think the nine game schedule makes the most sense. You know, I hate the fact from you guys, since as student athletes, that you don't get to travel around and see all the venues of the conference when, you know, what's the point of having the conference? I mean, you're a conference.
You talk about the experience down in Baton Rouge. For someone in the East that doesn't get to go experience that, they're really missing out on a quality, I guess, experience in college.
Yeah,
I mean,
sure.
Everybody needs to go play in Athens, Georgia. Everybody needs to play in Baton Rouge.
I agree. LSU won't go to Missouri until 2022. So, I mean, like,
wow.
You know, I mean, there's kids that are 9 years old right now that'll be playing for LSU. The first time they go to Missouri, they'll be on the team.
And, you know, the game wasn't great, but I went to Lexington last year for
sure.
The Alabama-Kentucky game. That's a great trip. We have great venues in our conference, which is one of the things I think separates us from everybody else. And I'm agreeing, so I'll move on, but I'm agreeing with you. I think the nine game is doing everyone a disservice.
I agree.
But moving further than that and getting into the kind of the recruiting battle, Alabama mm-hmm. and LSU are leading the country every single year. We've had some success in the state of Louisiana.
Yeah.
As of late, we got a big commitment yesterday from Shaheem Carter. Is that a concern for LSU fans about how many times Nick Saban's coming into Louisiana?
Look, initially, you could rile up. I mean, as a talk radio host, if you wanted to a slow day, July, you wanted to get people going, talk about Saban in Alabama coming into the state and dipping in and grabbing the number one offensive tackle, or grabbing Landon Collins, or grabbing Carter like they did. It doesn't seem to spur them as much anymore because of the success that LSU has had on the recruiting trail and the battles that now is LSU-Alabama. You guys have dominated the series here of late, but it's always a competitive battle. And one thing you know is you're going to get both sides' best effort. It still kills people that he can come in here and grab Cameron Robinson, you know, an obvious need for LSU at the offensive line spot. But, you know, I think for him, for Les Miles and LSU, you know, it kind of kicked them to make a move at that offensive line position. They brought in a guy in Jeff Grimes, and I think it was more of the recruiting in-state. But I think, you know, people are starting to move forward on that, and they're more enjoying the product that both programs put on the field against each other.
Yeah, right. Like, I know if we would lose a guy to LSU or to Florida, we're like, you know, whatever. We don't want him anyway.
Right.
Go have fun in Tuscaloosa. We're going to stay down here in Baton Rouge and do our thing. Because if you don't want to be a part of us, then just, you know, go have fun doing something else. And
right.
I think the guys that want to be there, that they really want to be there, is what you want to build your program and, you know, look forward to the future to.
Yeah, and that's the feeling that's kind of got in. You know, as soon as Speedy Noel, as soon as Gerald Willis signed their letters of intent to Florida and Texas A&M, respectively, Cameron Robinson, you know, like, later, man. I mean, they're gonna tiger bait you. They're gonna throw things at the bus and shoot a finger at you when you're coming in.
And then 6 years when you come back home, you know, hey, you know, you're Florida guy.
That's right.
You're not part of the family
anymore. That's right.
Did you say you wanted a job? I don't think so.
Yeah.
Yes, we're gonna go with the Tiger.
Yeah.
That's right. Jordy, I got one more question for you. We'll let you go. We had Olin Buchanan on from Tex-Ags yesterday.
Uh-huh.
Any concern about Texas A&M coming into the conference about being just one more person? Of course, it's that way for everybody, but geographically, Texas A&M makes more sense to recruit Louisiana than some of the others.
Sure, and look, talking to Frank, we asked Frank Wilson that exact question. He's more used it as a positive for LSU to get in the state of Texas. I mean, over the past couple of years, they've had a tremendous amount of success. They stepped in and grabbed the number one safety over the last 2 years, and Jamal Adams, a guy that will probably play this year in the class of 14. But I think you know, both sides, Texas A&M and LSU, love the fact that they can renew that rivalry that they had back in the day. This used to be the opening game to each program schedule, you know, for me growing up as a kid.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, I mean, it was a long-time rival.
Wow.
And so both sides have liked to see that renewed. That's why now the Arkansas game for LSU has been moved up in the schedule. Texas A&M's moved back. It's now the last playing date of the season. LSU and Texas A&M will play on Thanksgiving night this upcoming season, year in College Station. So they're trying to they're trying to renew and bring back some energy to that game, and I think both sides are excited about it.
Awesome. All right, last question. Get your prediction on the year. I know Alabama LSU game is always the biggest or big marquee matchup, the Iron Bowl as well. But Alabama LSU 2.5-point spread right now according to Vegas down in Baton Rouge. Why do we see it shaking out?
Well, you know, look, that's going to be a heavyweight punch, man. I mean, a heavyweight fight, and I say it every year. We stand down on the field, and I take pictures for the network down there, and it's just different. The game's just different.
Absolutely.
You can almost feel the ground shake when the ball's moving towards the sideline that you're standing on, because the energy, the enthusiasm, and seeing it up close for me, the part that's been so cool and really a good experience, and you guys are a part of it, is kind of the respect for each side. Look, there's not a lot of talking. There's not a lot of back and forth. You know, you can tell standing down there that you're getting both sides' best effort, and when you're just looking the eyeball test, you just say, look, these are probably the... You look at that 2011 game, man, and look how many pros...
To this day, that's the fastest game I've ever seen, ever.
But you look at the pros that were standing on the sidelines that didn't even play that night. It's just a cool atmosphere to predict it. It's going to go either way. It's going to be 3 points either way, Alabama, LSU. What you know is you're going to get a great game and great effort. If you're a paying customer or if you're a media member like us covering it, that's really all you can ask for.
That's Jordy Collada out of Baton Rouge, Louisiana, host of The Morning Drive with Collada and the Prince. Man, appreciate the time, brother.
Hey, guys, appreciate you.
And you're exactly right. Mad respect. If we're going to lose to somebody, I'd rather lose to LSU. At least I know I lost to somebody quality,
hey,
right?
That's it. That's how we feel.
Absolutely. Appreciate it, Jordy. 31 past the hour. We'll take a break here on the home of Alabama Sports. 99.1.